Morning, Five Stones. Good morning. Yeah, let's begin our time in the Word. And it's great to be here with you. Happy Mother's Day to all the moms. And I have a little Mother's Day story to start off today. So yeah, Sally and Harry. You know, Sally and Harry, they brothers and sisters, they were going around, and Sally went to do some chores with mom, and then the Harry saw a duck that was lying around, mom's favorite duck, you know, in a farm, idyllic farm setting, and so on, and suddenly there was an urge within Harry to pick up a stone and just fling it at the duck. And you know what happened? The duck died, right? The duck, poof, and the duck was gone. Yeah, thy kingdom come, right? Yeah, so there was yeah, so Sally saw Harry did it. Well, but mom didn't see, you know, just the duck just died, right? So, but Sally saw Harry. So Sally, suddenly mom calls out to Sally, say, "Hey, you know, let's go do the laundry today." Sally would whisper into Harry's ear and say, "Remember the duck. Remember the duck." And then, oh, Harry just would go out and say, I'll do the laundry. Okay, so follow mom and do Sally's chores. And then this went on for days and days and days and weeks. Suddenly, one day, Harry just got enough of it. Said, "No, I'm not gonna do this anymore." So he went and confessed to mom. Said, I did it. I killed your favorite duck." And then mom said to Harry, said, I know all about it. I was just waiting to see how long you're gonna let Sally make a slave out of you. Remember the duck. Every time, yeah. In the same way, you know, we are on the topic of forgiveness today, on forgiving our debts. And maybe you remember the story, you know, later on as you think about forgiveness. Sometimes, you know, the evil one will want to remind you of all the bad things you've done and all the evil that you've done, and God knows about it. God knows about it all the time. And he's wondering whether you're going to be a slave to all that you've all the evil that you've done, or are you going to just remember who God is, that He will always love you and forgive you, and He already knew about it. So let's pray. Father God, thank you for this time that we are in the Word, and may your Spirit just lead us and guide us into your very presence, that we may hear your Holy Spirit teaching us, that we may hear what your Holy Spirit want to impart into our hearts, into our lives, so that we could respond to you, so that we could respond in obedience, so we can respond with praise and adoration and worship, so that we can respond in ways that would help your kingdom come on earth as it is in heaven. So Lord God, we pray for your Holy Spirit to do a work in our hearts and our lives, so that the name of Jesus will be glorified in all that we do and say. And we pray this in your name. Amen. All right. So the Lord's Prayer, as we begin another sermon in the Lord's Prayer series, and today we're going to look at forgive our debts and forgive us our debts as we forgive our debtors. So this word that's debts, what does it actually mean? You know, I was really interested in looking up that word, because I thought I was taught to pray when I was in Catholic school. I went to Catholic school way back and when I was started out in kindergarten and all the way to grade 10, and I was in a Catholic school, and they taught us to pray the Lord's Prayer, and I prayed, forgive us our sins as we forgive those who sin against us, or forgive us our trespasses. But I've never prayed forgive our debts. It's very interesting that the New King James Version translated as debts. And why? Why did they translate the word debt? Actually, in the Greek, it's I don't know how to even pronounce that. Ophelima, yeah. With that which is owed a debt. So, wow, it's really interesting, because the Greek word for sin is actually hamartia, right? Hamartia. And how come in this word is not used as forgive us our hamartia, which is sins, missing the mark? But it's translated as debts in English. Ophelima, lemma, yeah, so. How do you say that word? Anybody want to try? Yeah, it's interesting, isn't it? When you look at the original language, it's actually in the Greek, it's a different word. It's not sin. It's not trespasses. It's actually debt. And I was trying to look it up and say, hey, what does that mean then to us? Why forgive us our debts? It has the In the original language, it has the notion of financial debt. You know, it's something that you owe. And then forgive us, what does that mean, forgive? It's a send away. Send away my financial debt, you know, my financial woes. Send it all away. And I said, wow, that's good news, right? Because I got a huge debt. I know I have a big mortgage to pay. Forgive us our debts. It would be great if suddenly my mortgage is sent away. It would be a weight off my back, right? Wow, it would be so awesome to have my financial needs, my house paid for. And that is the meaning of it, actually, to be paid for. Yeah, to send away our debts is to be paid for. And which means it's not that you just go off scot-free, you gotta actually pay for it. You gotta actually pay for it. So who pays the debt? Who pays the debt? Forgive us our debts as we forgive those who are our debtors. Well, think about it that way. As we think about this whole narrative of, you know, thy kingdom come, thy will be done on earth as it is in heaven. It is when Jesus taught his disciples to pray this way, he's actually trying to teach them about kingdom priorities. Hallowed be your name, first one, right? And then your will be done on earth as it is in heaven. It's all about his priorities. Let's God's kingdom come, your kingdom come, on earth as it is in heaven. So it's all God's priorities. So what is God's priority in thinking about the Lord's Prayer coming through forgiving us our debts? So I look back in the Old Testament and I found that there is a narrative that's written in the Old Testament about how in the year of the Jubilee, in the fall, after seven times 7 years, on the 50th year, there is a year of the Jubilee, all debts canceled, and and also it's every seventh year, apparently there's also a sense of there is a release, there's a cancellation, cancellation of all debt. So at the end of every 7 years, you shall grant a release. And this is the manner of the release. Every creditor shall release what he has lent to his neighbor. He shall not exact of it of his neighbor, his brother. So this is talking about fellow Israelites, you know, his brother, who are in debt. You shall not exact of it of his neighbor, because the Lord's release has been proclaimed. So that has a notion of, this is what the kingdom of God looks like. This is a kingdom of God that where nobody owes anybody anything. And why? There will be no poor among you. That's one of the reasons. And for the Lord will bless you in the land that the Lord your God is giving you for an inheritance to possess. An inheritance. So when Abraham, God made a promise to Abraham, says, I will give you this land, correct? So when he says, I will give you this land, it means that this inheritance will be there forever and ever. So when Israel got the promised land, what happened was this allotted land, Joshua divided, given them, allotted their lands to every tribe, every family, and that allotted land shall never leave their family. That's the notion. And they shall keep it forever and ever. It's a land for them always. So I'm giving to you as an inheritance to possess. What happened is, what during the course of years, when suddenly people, you know, go bankrupt, you know, in things, they need money to live on, they need cash, financial debt, they accrue financial debts, and some of them can't pay, so they become like indentured servants or bond slaves, or what they call basically slavery. You know, I will sell you our services so that to pay off. There's a financial ties to it, right? So in that way, when there is a Sabbath year, all of these debts are sent away so that you get back, you are restored the original land that was allotted to you. So every seventh year, you're supposed to get back your land. So whatever, ever, forever and ever, you're supposed to have that inheritance to possess. That inheritance to possess. If only you strictly obey the voice of the Lord. But that is another topic to discuss, right? There's just, they have not obeyed the Lord. Israel has not obeyed the Lord. So anyhow, the intent of this Sabbath year was that the kingdom of God would come, they will see the promises of God being fulfilled, and the promises of God of the land is there forever and ever, but if only they would obey the voice of the Lord, but they have not. So with this notion of the Sabbath year and moving on to the Jubilee year, where everything is a big celebration of forgiveness and of debt and regaining all that was supposed to have gone to someone else, but you get back your allotted land. So this is all good news. It's kind of like our mortgage, right? We pay the bank. We get loan when we are slaves to the bank. and what happened is we have to slavishly pay it off, right, bit by bit, and then the time comes for we finally paid off everything, and boy, it'd be so nice to burn that mortgage and paper and then say, hey, it's done, yeah, no more paying to the bank. And here in the Sabbath year, you're supposed to be restored, and we are. When we have the mortgage burned, that means what? The property is actually mine, right? The house is actually belongs to me. It doesn't belong to the bank anymore, or it doesn't belong to my lenders or whatever it is. So it belongs to me. And there's a freedom that's there. There's a restoration that's there. And there's a rest that's there. And that's what the Sabbath year was supposed to communicate, the notion of rest. When the kingdom of God comes, there will be rest. When the kingdom of God comes, there will be restoration. There will be kingdom of God comes, it'll be yahoo! It'll be free. You're just but there is a payment that needs to be paid. It's not like you go off scot-free. It's just like our mortgage. You know, you still have to pay, right? You still have gotta pay. And the notion here is that when the kingdom of God comes, God is the one that restores you. God pays, right? And you get back what's yours. And I think about how the kingdom of God is sometimes we don't really fully understand it because we think the kingdom of God is just in here, just in the hearts. But in Jesus' day, the kingdom of God is more than just in our hearts. It includes your inheritance. And what is your inheritance as the people of God in the New Testament? You're co-heirs of Jesus. You are co-heirs of Christ. You are called to go into all the world and preach the gospel and bring, you are supposed, your inheritance is actually the whole earth. The whole earth. You are, blessed are the poor in spirit, for theirs is the kingdom of heaven. You get the whole thing. Blessed are the meek, and they shall inherit the earth. It's all yours. It all harkens back to the time of when God made the heavens and the earth. We are supposed to get the whole thing as image of God, as image bearers. We're supposed to get the whole earth to work at. So here is this notion of God telling us once again, this whole kingdom narrative is in the Lord's Prayer. When we think about the kingdom of God, it's not just in the heart, but it extends to everywhere, all the earth. So when you say, forgive us our debts, forgive us our debts and forgive our debtors, it's supposed to not just remain here, the forgiveness, right? It's supposed to go out, forgive our debtors to the whole earth, to everybody. Yeah. So today, as you think about our debt being paid off by Jesus, paid off by God, paid off by, we need to get the sense that we are restored. We are not just forgiven of our sins, but we get the inheritance. We get it all restored back to us if we choose to strictly obey, right? If we choose to believe, to trust what God has in store for us. So at the very core of it all is the heart motive. It's the heart that God is after. So when you pray in Matthew chapter 6, 5 to 6, so this is just before the Lord's Prayer being taught in the Sermon on the Mount, says when you pray, you mustn't be like the play actors. You don't, you know, the hypocrites, the play actors, the ones who pretend. They love to pray standing in the synagogues on the street corners so that people will notice them. I'm telling you the truth, they have received their reward in full. That is all the inheritance they're going to get. That's the reward. No, when you go pray into your own room, shut the door, pray to your Father who is there in secret, and your Father who is in secret will repay you. And that is, He will be the one that will pay. When you integrate that with the Lord's Prayer, it is God who will pay. It is God who will repay you. It is God who will give you back that you can rest and you can have restoration and you can have all that belongs to you, the whole earth even. So we are in a place not just when Jesus taught this prayer, forgive us our debts. It is not just giving off a sense of just, you know, like, oh, I'm so evil and so on. But it's actually, it's much higher. It's you got to remember the whole kingdom narrative, that we are, not only are we forgiven of our sins, of missing the mark of being genuine human beings, but we get the whole reward of being, if we forgive our debtors, if we forgive and we send away, even we are actually getting close to the heart of who God is, who wants to give us everything, everything. So sometimes we are more like Harry. We just think about the evil. We just think about the so-called sins, but we don't think about the whole kingdom. What God is really, are you just gonna let Satan make you a slave to all your sins and all the stuff that you carry in your heart? Or are you gonna say, God already knew about it, but God has a bigger picture. He wants you to be part of His kingdom. He wants you to be a son and daughter of God. He wants you to be someone who's set free, to be restored, to have all the goodies, right? All the inheritance that your heart's desire. If you would delight in the Lord, then what will He give you? He will give you the delights of, He will give you. If you delight in the Lord, He will give you the desires of your heart, right? So this is what is all, it seems to be, there's a richness about this forgiveness. It's more than just, I got to beat myself up or whatever. You know, it's more than that. It's more than beating yourself up. It's way higher. Get that inheritance, people. Get that inheritance. So that restoration. So today, as we think about this heart that God is after, think about, hey, you know, not only do I get my heart right with God, but I get my heart and mind, and it's about, wow, I get all this kingdom prizes and presents and inheritance and so on. That's way more stuff than just looking down in your heart and becoming introspective. It's also to look out and see, wow, God, amazing grace. He gives us more than we can ever imagine. He gives us way more. Way, way more. Amazing grace. So, and then another thing about the kingdom language that's used in the way that Jesus taught about the forgiveness is when he was struggling with the Pharisees and scribes. You know, why is he hanging out with the scribes? He seems to be the tax collectors and prostitutes and all that. Why is he hanging out? He was having a debate with them. And in Luke chapter 15, we see there's this language that Jesus used. This is, and I call it bad math. Really bad math, you know, like just terrible math. And what I mean by that is that when you look at Luke chapter 15, where he was debating with the scribes and the Pharisees about how come he's hanging out with the tax collectors and sinners and so on, this is Jesus told three parables in succession, right? And the three parables, one of them was about the lost sheep, the lost 99. The 100 sheep that they had, they lost one and left the 99 and go for one. You leave the 99 for the wolves? Go and look out for the one lost one? That is terrible math, right? That's just bad. That's just not good. And those of you who are accountants, you say, wow, that's just terrible. You know, why leave the 99 and just go for the one lost one? It's just bad. But here's what's happening here. Jesus says, just so I tell you, there will be more joy in heaven over one sinner who repents than over 99 righteous persons who need no repentance. Yeah, and that's the kingdom language Jesus is telling the scribes and Pharisees. You don't get how God wants to just give and give. You don't get how God just wants to love this world so much. You don't get how God loves the lost one. And how God wants to restore and give the inheritance. Remember, all this was written in the Jewish context, right? So they, all those Jewish people, they would have this forgiveness of debts in their psyche, in their minds, in their hearts, and to be given back Israel, to be given back their allotted inheritance. That says so much about their eternal security. It says so much about their election. It says so much about their who they are as a people. And speaking to the tax collectors and sinners, they also get their inheritance. It's like, whew, this is like, they don't deserve it, but they get it. This is how gracious God is, how wonderful the Father is. So that which was lost can be restored. And that is the shocking thing about the story that Jesus told when he talked about the prodigal son, the lost son, who spent a third of the father's assets. You know the prodigal son story, right? He spent a third. Why a third? Because the older brother gets double portion, right, of the inheritance. So the younger one gets a third. That's the cultural way of doing things in those days. And the prodigal son, so he went and ran away, and the lost son went and spent it all. And you know the narrative, the story, right? He went to because he was so bankrupt, he said, I got nothing. He went to even get a job to do what? Feed the pigs. And you know, feeding the pigs in the Jewish context is what? It's like, oh, that's no way you're going to do that. You got to be at the lowest of the low to be feeding pigs as a job. So, and to even want to eat the pots and the feed that were given to the pigs is like, to the Jewish mind, it's a shocking. It's a shocking imagery. So it's there to shock the people to think about how God is looking and wanting to restore, wanting to give to the one that was lost, right? And so we find this shocking story, and again the bad math, the all this is to shock the people to really think through. God's kingdom is coming. Your kingdom come. Your will, and what is His will is to restore, to be done on earth, here, not just in our hearts, but on the earth. And you get all the inheritance. Everybody gets restored, especially the lost ones. So as we look on to that story, we find the Father, that startling image as well of the Father running to the lost son. So, what is this all about? Why did Jesus tell the story of the lost son, you know, with the star? It's a very startling image, right? The father who saw the son from far away ran to the lost son and brought him back into the fold. But the point that Jesus actually was talking about was the hurt that was there for the astounded older brother who gets double portion and still can't think of how great his inheritance is. And who is the older brother that was supposed to be in that story? It's the scribes and the Pharisees. It's the Jewish folks, right? They're all thinking about that. And the older brother says to the father, say, hey, you know, what's all this? You won't even give me a young goat, and you gave the fattened calf to the younger son. What's this? And that son of yours, you know, he used the term, that son of yours, not my brother, but that son of yours, you know, that son of yours who squandered his third of his inheritance, You want him back? Are you serious? You know, are you definitely that serious about that? And a son of yours, but versus how the father came back at that notion of that son of yours is this your brother? This your brother. And say, so we're all in the family, people. We're all in the family. We should be celebrating. The one that was lost is now found. Lost is found. So do what? Let's join the party. Let's join the kingdom feast. And it's all about the kingdom of God. This story is all about the kingdom of God. Y'all need to get that sense of how gracious God is, how amazing his love is, how inclusive it is, right? To have that joy of everybody, the whole earth, gets the party, gets the kingdom. So, as we think about this story that's been told, this kingdom story that's been told, what's at stake here is, for God so loved the world, for God so loved the world, that his will be done on earth as it is in heaven. It's living out the prayer. It's the rescue of the world. And it's saying to all believers, do you love that? Do you love that God loves the whole world? And you've loved it that now even all your debts are, whether it's moral, financial, one day in the kingdom of God, it will all be sent away, forgiven, because it's been paid up, paid for. Somebody paid for it, paid up. So now we do what? We join in with the Father with the purpose of what? Bringing heaven to earth. Bringing heaven to earth. Join him in his party. Join him in welcoming. Join him in celebrating that one day, even all this death and decay and all that stuff that's wrong with the world will be restored. You will get the inheritance of the whole earth. It will be all given back to us who believe, who would seriously believe in the Lord, who would believe him. So, believers, today as we think about the lost being found and forgiving our debts as we forgive our debtors, I think we need to remember that we gotta go out there, join the party, bring others in, forgive others, right? And so turn around in our hearts, in our heads, think about this whole kingdom narrative, think about how to live out this really amazing being set free, this Exodus narrative that's been given to us through Jesus. Live out this jubilee, live out this forgiveness of debts, and join the kingdom feast and not begrudge others, especially the lost ones. Not begrudge others, like the older brother in the prodigal son story. So I'm getting, you know, like when I think about the whole sense of forgiving our debts as we forgive those who are our debtors, I think we need to really center in on who God is now. Who is God to us? The one who would really long for us to send our debts away. Not only that, but through us, join the kingdom party, join with him to bring others into a place where they too would know that they are forgiven of all their debts. So as we look at the next slide here, as we pray And as we work at it about our forgiveness, sometimes it's really hard, right? Because we've been so wrong or we've been hurt, and it's really difficult. How do we apply that? I like what Lewis Smith said, that if you're trying to forgive, even if you manage in fits and starts, if you forgive today, hate again tomorrow, and have to forgive again the next day, the day after, you are a forgiver. You are a forgiver. Most of us are amateurs, bungling duffers sometimes. So what? In this game, nobody's an expert. We are all beginners. And I think that's where we need to start. We need to address the hurt, yeah? And that's, if you remember the prodigal son story, Jesus actually addressed the hurt, right, of the older brother. Say, hey, you know, give me a goat. I can't even have a fattened calf, you know, like a young goat. Young goat is like so cheap compared to a big fat calf, right? It's just, yeah. You give it to that lousy fella, you know? Yeah. So Jesus, through that story, is addressing the hurt, right, of what's going on. And I think we need to sometimes take a look. Yeah, there are a lot of things that are wrong. We get hurt. We get all the struggles that are there. But then you forgive, you know, even when the time comes and you see the offender comes around and you see, oh, the hate comes again. Well, address it. The pain comes again. It's okay. You are a forgiver when you are thinking through the big picture, restoring them, and thinking through the joining the party, like the son the lost son story. So, when we forgive, again, Smith says this. When we forgive, we come as close as any human being can to the essentially divine act of creation, for we create a new beginning out of past pain that never has a right to exist in the first place. I like that. Never has a right to exist. You know, the pains and the hurts, that was never in God's original plan. It was never supposed to be like that. It was supposed to be paradise all the time. It was supposed to be the Garden of Eden. But we know Garden of Eden does not exist in this kind of terrible, decaying, death-defiant world that we live in. But we get there when we begin to forgive, send away other people's debts, when we can create a new beginning out of past pain that never has a right to exist. We create healing for the future by changing a past that had no possibility in it for anything but sickness and death. So, it is divine when we forgive. It is divine. We are actually imaging what God does for us and for all the world. We are becoming image bearers of God when we forgive. We become creators of new beginnings. Yeah, I like that. So as we think about how to apply all that we've learned today, I think part of it has to do with the kingdom of God is huge. And we got to think about the bigger picture all the time and not just, the kingdom of God just resides just one spot here. It's supposed to spread. The glory of God is supposed to be filling the whole earth as the waters cover the sea. And we can spread the glory of God when we become a people who pray that prayer, forgive us our debts as we forgive those who, as we forgive our debtors. So let us pray. Father God, as we think about the sending away of debts, the forgiveness of debts, help us to really pray that your will be done on earth, even today, on earth as it is in heaven. But I also pray for those who today struggle with the hurt and pain of of just living life here on the earth. Sometimes there's just tremendous hurt, there's tremendous abuse, there's tremendous pain, and tremendous struggle. Help us to really realize that that you do address our, you do give us the freedom to address our hurts and our pain. And you do give us the freedom to just voice it out to you. And you do address it. You do want to address it. You do want to speak to our hurts, our struggles, our issues. And it's not that you don't care, but you want to care. You want to be with us. You are addressing it. So help us, Lord, to just come to you and express our hurt, express our pain, and forgive us our debts. So as we pray this prayer, help us also to begin to make sense of your kingdom, that your kingdom is more than just me and you. It extends to others as well, that it extends to the lost ones, the ones who squandered it all, the ones who went bankrupt. And help us to join in the party this day, to remember that there is a party that God, that you want all of us to participate in. This renewal, this restoration of this earth, this new building project of the new creation of the new heavens and the new earth. Help us to join in with you and throwing parties for the lost. And for those who are lost here today, I pray that they will understand that they too can be forgiven, that they too can join the party, and that they too can experience the joy of Jubilee. So be with them and be with us all as we pray in Jesus' name. Amen.
To forgive the debts is one of those things, and I like how Andrew reminded us that forgiveness is something that we practice. It's not something that just comes, but it's something that we do practice. It's something that one day we may feel like, yeah, God's grace is on me, I can forgive, but your emotions take over, and it's one of those things that we have to exercise over and over and over again. But come from the place of generosity. That God is generous with his forgiveness to you. That's kingdom mindset. And because of God's generosity, we can also forgive with generosity. But it is from God first. So it's a great reminder for us to continue to look at our discipleship as part of God's kingdom. That it isn't just these segments that we're going through, but that there is a bigger picture of what God is calling his people to be and calling his people to do. Amen. Let's pray. Father God, we thank you, Lord. We thank you for just your grace and your mercy upon us. We thank you for your generosity and what you've poured out into our lives. And so, Father God, as we come and we look at ourselves and we look at our lives and we're just like, oh, there's all these debts and there's all these things that I need to figure out. Lord, we come before you first. We come and sit at your feet first. And we receive your generosity. We receive your love. We receive your forgiveness so that we are able to forgive others. Forgive them in a way that you've called us to forgive them. So, Father, we come and we bear our hearts before you. And we ask that you continue to teach us to live in your way. To teach us to live as part of your kingdom. So, Lord, we thank you and we pray all this in Jesus' name. Amen. Be blessed. Happy Mother's Day to all the mothers that are out there. And I will see you guys next week.